This is the Wednesday, October 27th, 2010 edition of Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
At the funeral of their baby son, Elliot, Matthew and Jenny Mooney released 99 balloons to mark the 99 days their son spent on Earth. But rather than sequester themselves in grief, the couple leveraged the loss of their child into a constellation of special needs children's charities. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich explains.
A dozen children are receiving treatment this morning at Children's Therapy Team, an outpatient pediatric therapy center in Fayetteville. Had Elliot Mooney been able to overcome his birth anomaly, he would be 4 years old and likely careening through this place, causing all kinds of good trouble. Instead, his dad, Matthew, sits in a small chair in one of the therapy rooms, reflecting on tiny Elliot, who was born July 2006 and died 99 days later.
Elliot had trisomy 18, which is a condition where everybody has 23 sets of two pairs of chromosomes, and he had three on set 18. And so that is considered, trisomy 18 is considered not viable for life. And so the fact that he lived 99 days was a miracle in and of itself. And we knew that. We found out 30 weeks pregnant that he had trisomy 18. And so we went into his life ready to celebrate and just enjoy every day that his life brought. And it brought a lot of joy. But in the wake of losing him, we knew that we wanted to do something. And so we just kind of looked around and we found out that what we had when we had Elliot, we had a community of people who stocked our fridge, who showed up to help us, who cooked meals for us, who we were in the NICU for a long time, and they came and they visited and brought everything we need. And so what we'd like to say is that our friends took care of us while we took care of Elliot.
And now Matthew's taking care of other parents with special needs children by providing them medically supervised respite care for free via his nonprofit program called Recess.
And so we started a night called Recess where families can drop their special needs children off and their siblings as well, so they can drop all their children off and just have some time to themselves, and they can have a high level of confidence that their children are being taken care of and are with other children with needs.
Jonathan Beasley, pastor of Church at Arkansas, opened his community center to host Recess. So did New Heights Church. Professional staff volunteer their time, and Recess is medically supervised.
There's no cost to the families for Recess. They can just show up and come. The way that families come, they fill out a parent packet, which lets us know if their child is a good fit for us and if we're a good fit for them. And so typically the typical child is under 12 for Recess, and it's a child, it's a family that can't necessarily get a babysitter.
Matthew seeks to replicate this program, perhaps nationwide. He says drop-off respite care facilities are common, but Recess incorporates community building. He was invited to talk about his family and vision on Oprah Winfrey's television talk show, as well as NBC's Today Show.
And so Elliot's story has gotten out there in great capacity, and we love to share it. And it connects with people in different ways. It's connected with people who are grieving. It's connected us with special needs families and the special needs community.
When you ask for his credentials, Matthew says he has none, except for that law degree he was awarded several years ago. But instead of pursuing a lucrative career in contracts, he created a new nonprofit umbrella for Recess and other projects called 99 Balloons. Matthew is self-deprecating with a wry sense of humor. When a little boy broke down sobbing in a nearby playroom, he said off mic in a low voice, "Those therapists can be really hard on the kids." The crying ceased immediately, of course, and actually, all the therapists working here are really sort of beautiful and very cheerful. And Matthew's wife, Jenny, she's at home with Elliot's siblings. Good news, right?
Two children. Our oldest girl just turned two. Her name is Hazel, and Anders is almost 9 months. And so Jenny stays at home taking care of those two, which keep her busy. And she also makes and sells jewelry. So she's been doing that and loves to do that.
Amber Spencer's son Samuel's enrolled in Recess. She first heard about the respite program here at Children's Therapy Teamwork.
Samuel has a lot of different things medically going on, and so we had never left him with anyone except family.
Amber Spencer has a business degree as well, but instead, like Matthew's, chosen to work with special needs kids as a family support specialist at Children's Therapy Team.
So here's our large gym with children jumping on the trampoline and swinging. You can see the big zip line that goes across, and they fall into the ball pit. Lots of therapy going on in here, lots of fun spinning, and he is getting occupational therapy.
With over 60 on staff, Children's Therapy Team provides pediatric therapy to 500 patients at two centers, one in Bentonville, the other in Fayetteville, here on Joyce Street. The facility is a maze of brightly painted rooms filled with cushions, toys, books, and lots of exercise equipment. But there's also quiet rooms for children coping with sensory issues.
We treat a very wide range of disabilities. Autism, cerebral palsy, hydrocephalus, and the list just goes on and on. It could be a severe child or a very child that just needs a day or two of speech a week just for a little bit of speech delay. So we have the full range. We start at birth, and most of our, we do have a couple kids in their 20s, but you know, typically 21 is our range.
Amber Spencer totally gets special needs kids.
My son Samuel has hydrocephalus, and so at our 20-week ultrasound, we found out from the ultrasound in the womb that he had fluid on his brain. It's a birth defect. About 1 in 1,000 kids here in the States tend to have hydrocephalus. So when he was born, they placed a shunt in his head to drain the fluid, and he is now 6 and doing great. He has been coming to team since he was right at 3 weeks old and getting all of his therapy. Samuel's now had 14 surgeries, 7 brain, and then just about 7 other miscellaneous things. And I can tell you one of his very most favorite things to do is go to recess.
And Samuel loves to come to Children's Therapy Team, of course, founded 10 years ago by Kim Hanna. Now, Kim Hanna is central to this story because she's organized a project called Teamworks Ukraine, where volunteer therapists from here visit Ukrainian orphanages to help raise the stature of special needs children there. She learned about the situation because one of her staff had adopted several Ukrainian special needs children who are now thriving.
The orphanage workers over there saw what a difference that some of our interventions made with the children with disabilities. And these kids in Ukraine that have disabilities, they're not really considered a part of society. They're pretty much when children are born in Ukraine with a disability, their parents are encouraged to give them up. It's getting better, and some parents are trying to keep their kids, but they're just not trained, you know. So we're going over and training them how to work with children with disabilities.
Kim and her husband have since adopted a daughter from Ukraine. She says her name's Mira. She has cerebral palsy and is very beautiful.
My little girl was the first girl to be adopted out of the special needs room at her orphanage. They didn't even show parents that were considering adopting children in the special needs room. They just didn't really feel like people were interested in them. But since I've adopted her, there's been 4 other kids out of that room adopted out. Because it just shows them that, you know, we do think of kids with disabilities as normal children, and they can have a perfectly healthy, happy life, just like all the other kids can.
Kim says she was told by Ukrainian orphanage director that when the children turn 4, they're automatically institutionalized, and as many as 3/4 die from malnutrition and neglect. Aside from her profession, Kim Hanna represents a growing number of parents who treasure special needs children and are reaching out to places that don't. They leave for China next week to adopt Ming Ming Alley. She has bilateral clubfoot. She's 3. As for Matthew Mooney, who's co-sponsor of Teamworks Ukraine, it's all about love. And Elliot.
You know, we miss him and we think about him every day, and we definitely want to live our lives in light of what we learned through his life. And things of this world are fleeting, and we know that. And loving children and showing the world the worth of these particular children is something we're willing to give our life to.
You can see a tape of Elliot for yourself when you drop by 99balloons.org. Reporting for Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
If you'd like to learn more about recess, you can visit 99balloons.org. That's the number, 99balloons.org. And to learn more about the TeamWorks Ukraine project, you can visit childrenstherapyteam.com. And if you'd like to know more about links associated with any story you hear on Ozarks at Large today, you can go to our website, ozarksatlarge.com.
As the leaves start changing color and the air becomes a little cooler, many people will begin searching through their closets for their warm winter coats. First Security Bank is helping make sure Northwest Arkansas residents who need a jacket have one for the upcoming winter season by organizing a coat drive. Annette King, Assistant Vice President of Marketing, says this is just one more way to help families who may be struggling right now.
What we have found is that families struggle to even put food on the table, especially during the holidays. And the basic needs of having a coat oftentimes just kind of goes to the wayside. And as children grow out of their current coats year after year, it's hard for families who are already struggling to put a warm coat that fits on their child.
All of the gently used or new coats that are donated will be given to local nonprofit organizations.
The Boys and Girls Club, they assist the local community in general. However, the Peace at Home Family Shelter, they assist people who are in need right now. That, you know, a lot of times whenever a parent is being abused or a child is being abused, they leave the home in the middle of the night and with literally nothing. And the last thing they think about grabbing is that jacket or that coat when they're in fear of their life. So we really need to be able to come together to get the coats that are needed for these young boys and girls, moms, sometimes dads, that are in the family shelter when they do not have even the clothes on the back, but more or less a coat.
This year, Peace at Home Family Shelter has provided safe shelter to 68 women and 102 children and support services to 600 domestic violence survivors. Coats may be dropped off during business hours at any First Security Bank location in Northwest Arkansas. Male and female coats from newborn size to triple extra large are being accepted.
We are needing coats of all sizes, from the tiny, tiny infant to even three extra large, because what the Boys and Girls Club and Peace at Home Family Shelters have found out is that even if there is a child that is in need for a coat, their parent usually is also.
King says the coat drive is a good way for Northwest Arkansas residents to come together and help others in the community.
Winter is fast approaching, and if we can do something collaboratively as a community to help those that are in need, why would we not do that? There are kids that literally will freeze out in the playgrounds, at school, if we don't all come together and help.
More information is available at 479-527-7013 or fsbank.com. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
This is Ozarks at Large. The Fort Smith Regional Opportunity Fair will be held tomorrow from 10 until 2 at the Fort Smith Convention Center. The fair will feature area employers and schools, mobile computer labs, and job skills seminars. Admission is free. If you'd like more information, you can call the Fort Smith Adult Education Center at 785-1232. Earlier this month, Ozarks at Large, Northwest Arkansas Newspapers, and the Shiloh Museum of Ozark History teamed up to hear ghost stories. We invited the public to come to Shiloh Museum and tell ghost stories, not the fictional kind you hear around a campfire, but stories from people who believe they'd had some sort of unexplained experience. Several stories were told that afternoon, and you can hear the entire afternoon session on a podcast at the Shiloh Museum website. That's springdalearc.org/Shiloh. One of the more compelling stories told that afternoon was from David Wright of Fayetteville. Full disclosure here, I'm quite the skeptic when it comes to this sort of story, but I've known David for more than 10 years, and you can hear in his voice as he tells the story that just telling it to other people still gives him the chills.
In 1982, I was in graduate school here at Fayetteville and looking for an apartment, and I found one in the Gregg House, the Lafayette Gregg House. And it's on the corner of Gregg and Lafayette, and it's a big antebellum mansion that was then broken into four apartments. Well, five, six, actually. The Ice House was one, the Smoke House was one, and then the main house was broken up into, you know, two on the bottom, two on top. And so I had, if you're looking at the house, I had the bottom left. And all it was a big parlor of the house, a huge room, had a marble fireplace in it, and floor-to-ceiling windows, well, one window, that faced the street, and then one window that faced, that would be south, on the south wall of the house. And that was my bedroom, and they had, I mean, it came furnished. It was like, it wasn't $100 a month back then, you know, which was right in my price range. And so I had my bed back in the corner looking toward the floor-to-ceiling window going facing Gregg Street, you know, facing the front yard of that house, and I had a cat, Cheetos. It had seven toes on each foot, Cheetos. And so I woke up. It was late, I'm not just saying this for effect. It was full moon. when the moon was full, those windows are just gorgeous. And I'd made my own curtains, I remember. You know, and I didn't make them tall enough, so they came, you know, maybe didn't cover the entire window from the top of it down. Anyway, I was in, you know, I was dead asleep. And I woke up for some reason, and I kind of woke up and looked down at the end of the bed, and Cheetos was standing just staring out that window. And, you know, I didn't really move, and I looked to the window. Oh, golly. Oh. And what I see is, you know, I think it's weird when an animal reacts that way. You know, you don't really get it. Then you think, well, something's wrong. Somebody's here, and somebody was there. So I looked up, and there was a young girl in antebellum dress, and she was looking out the window like this. And when I finally realized what I was seeing, I screamed like a girl. I mean, it scared me to death. Oh, and as soon as I did that, that vision disappeared. Got up, turned on every light in the house, and it shook me kind of. So maybe 2 months later, I woke up again, and this time I knew, you know, I knew why I was waking up. And I looked down at the end of the bed, there's Cheetos on point, just as still as can be. So I don't move, and I my heart's racing, I can hear it in my ears and coming out the top of my head, and I look up, and there she is. Again, with her, you know, looking out that window. She's not moving, she's not talking, she's not singing, but I can see her in the moonlight there, looking out that window. And I tried so hard not to move, this time not out of fear, but just out of, I don't want to scare it, you know. And I looked at my alarm clock, and I watched that specter for at least 15 minutes. And then Cheetos moved and laid back down or jumped down. And every time, just the same thing, time as last time, when something happened in the room, when somebody moved or spoke or screamed, that specter started turning. And as she started turning, she would disappear, you know, just fade away, turn towards me like she was going to say something to me. And I could only ever see like three quarters of her face before she was entirely gone. I can describe to you exactly what she was wearing as far as ribbons down her back, puffed sleeves. She didn't have a hat on, of course she was inside, But it was a young girl and of the period, and I've often wondered who it was. I know Ida Gregg, Lafayette Gregg's daughter, only daughter, who was never married, died in that house. But I don't, you know, this was a little girl. I don't know, anyway, I don't know who it was, but it I saw her twice, and I was glad I did.
David Wright of Fayetteville telling of an experience he had while in graduate school in Fayetteville in the early 1980s. He told that story as part of an afternoon of personal ghost stories at Shiloh Museum of Ozark History in Springdale earlier this month. That event was hosted by the museum and Northwest Arkansas newspapers. You can hear more stories from that day, including the only sort of ghost-connected story I've ever been involved with, and even then it was only my family members that may have or may have not seen something. You can hear those stories in a podcast from Shiloh Museum, available at springdalearc.org/Shiloh. This is Ozarks at Large.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. More than 2,000 home foreclosures took place in Washington and Benton counties this past third quarter. The faltering economy has caused certain companies to abandon their partially developed subdivisions. Biologist Joe Neal recently hiked one of these places he calls Weedy Estates and describes some of the new colorful residents.
The sun was just barely up as I drove into central Benton County. A kind of pink light suffused heavy fog blanketing the land. I passed an old chicken house, admiring the artistically weathered boards exposed where the tin siding had fallen off. A big hole that used to be a window was filled with the pink light, revealing a black and white milk cow inside. This seemed a promising start. The fog obscured things, but I could hear the Eastern Metalark version of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. They sang All Around Surround Sound, is how they market this, I think. With support from Keedy, Keedy, killdeers from an invisible but audible farm pond, I pulled up right there and listened for a while. My destination was Weedy Estates, a big flop subdivision where, in the get-rich-quick days of 3 years ago, 80 acres dozed to bare red dirt, streets pushed in, curb not paved, forlorn utility hookups marooned and deteriorating, plumbing scattered all over the place. The joys of trash dumping in Weedy Estates have been discovered. Tires, car parts, and yard waste. The unpaved streets are growing gullies. Spaces dozed and flattened for mansionettes are festively decked out in daisy fleabane, plus poke, persimmon sprouts, and the odd isolated oak tree. The open country birds obviously loved the place. I counted scissor tail flycatchers carrying on in a fine racket in one tiny tree out in the middle, and palm warblers, a marsh wren, several indigo buntings, including one with a lot of blue, and Lincoln sparrow. The bankrupt subdivision held lots of interesting butterflies, lark sparrows, and American kestrels, enjoying not being bothered by lawnmowers, leaf blowers, weed eaters, or Harleys. The unfinished roads were perfect for easy, slow-walk birding. And there are no street signs, so I make them up as I go. Scissortail flycatcher perch, palm warbler poke, kestrel vista. Long may they show the way. It's mid-morning now, and the illustrious pink fog is gone, turned another drop-dead beautiful fall day. In the warm light, monarchs stir in the low, sheltering atmospheres of tall weeds, not planned for these 80 acres, belonging now exclusively to them.
J. Joe Neal's latest book is Birdside Baptist and Other Ornithological Mysteries. He is also co-author with Douglas James of Arkansas Birds, published by the University of Arkansas Press.
This is Ozarks at Large.
Less than a week left before voting in the 2010 midterm election, the perfect time for our political junkie to stop by. We'll analyze the hottest races, and of course, we'll have a trivia question. I'm Jennifer Ludden. Join host Neil Conan and Ken Rudin for an election edition of The Political Junkie. Plus, American comic legend Stan Lee on the next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation this afternoon from 1 until 3 on KUAF 91.3 FM, right after Ozarks at Large.
Simon Le Bon, a member of the rock group Duran Duran, was born on this date in 1958. Named after a character in the 1960s science fiction cult classic Barbarella, Duran Duran became one of the leading new wave rock acts of the 1980s, known for their good looks, flashy videos, and unusual lyrics. The band was started in the late 1970s in Birmingham, England. After playing numerous gigs in the Birmingham area, Duran Duran hit the British charts with the single Planet Earth in 1981, which reflected their post-punk meets pop style. For the group, their image was as important as their sound. They wore makeup and dressed in foppish clothes, which were part of the new romantic style of fashion and music popular in England at the time. Later that year, they released their self-titled debut album. While they received little critical notice for their music, Duran Duran did get some recognition for their artistic vision. They won 2 Grammy Awards for Best Video Short Form for Girls on Film and Hungry Like the Wolf. They also won Best Video Album for Duran Duran. Around this time, the band was already releasing its 3rd album, which spawned several hits, including their number one single, The Reflex. Duran Duran was becoming stressed by heavy touring and an aggressive workload. The members took a break to work on other projects. In 1985, Duran Duran recorded the theme song for the James Bond film, A View to Kill. While the song was a hit for the group, Duran Duran started to fracture. Despite personnel changes, the group has continued releasing albums into the 21st century. Later in their career, Duran Duran began to get some of the respect that had escaped them during their early days. They received an MTV Video Music Award for Lifetime Achievement in 2003 and the Brit Award for Outstanding Contribution to British Music in 2004. Three years ago on this date, original Tuskegee Airman Milton Pitts Crenshaw was inducted into the Arkansas Black Hall of Fame. He was one of the first African Americans in the country and the first from Arkansas to be trained by the federal government as a civilian licensed pilot. He trained hundreds of cadet pilots while at Alabama's Tuskegee Institute in the 1940s and was the catalyst in starting the first successful flight program at Philander Smith College in Little Rock from 1947 to 1953. His combined service record extends for over 40 years of federal service from 1941 to 1983 with the U.S. Army in the Army Air Corps and eventually the U.S. Air Force. On this date in 1904, the first rapid transit subway, the IRT, opened in New York City. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
It's Wednesday, October 27th, 2010. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Becca Bacon-Martin, editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
For some reason, Kyle just made me think that I should do a promo for the story coming up Sunday in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
What is that?
We had the best time last Sunday at the Shiloh Museum,
yes,
listening to people tell ghost stories.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a project of KUAF and the museum, who's going to do it as a podcast, and Northwest Arkansas newspapers, and it will be the Our Town cover this Sunday, and it should be a lot of fun. I need somebody out there to tell me the story about George Kernodle walking the stage at University Theater. So if you're out there, call me.
Okay.
Now, today, we have Imogene, an original play by Bob Stevenson, back for a second run.
Great.
at 7:30 at Breedlove Auditorium at the University of Arkansas at Fort Smith. Apparently it was so popular, they're bringing it back for two more performances, and these are free.
Isn't this great? I mean, because Theater Squared in Fayetteville had got to extend its run.
Isn't that great?
39 Steps. Now, this original play from Fort Smith is extended. It's fantastic.
It is free, and you can find out more at 788-7300. Tonight, the opening play of the University Theater in Fayetteville season continues with Urinetown, which still makes me want to jump up and down and say Urinetown, won 3 Tonys when it premiered on Broadway in 2001. A dystopian future that's funny. Or not, depending on how you take it.
Oh, there are laughs. There are laughs.
Tickets are $16 at 575-4752. And Ryan Bingham.
Yes, back at Georgia's.
Country songwriter is back at Georgia's. He will be performing at 9 o'clock in support of his August album, Junkie Star. He also won an Oscar this year.
Yeah. Oh, and then there's this. He won an Oscar.
And then he won an Oscar. Tickets are $15. The Rustlanders open.
And the reason he won the Oscar was for his song that was the
Crazy Heart.
Crazy Heart, yes. Becca Bacon Martin is the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers. This is Ozarks at Large. And with this edition, we begin something new. Toward the end of most shows, we'll take a few minutes to go over some things we feel are worth your attention before we end the program. Bits of news, sports, trivia that you can find useful, a reminder of performances taking place soon, or just some other random bits of information to pass along. We call this new segment, well, we don't call it anything yet. We've had some ideas.
We have thought about this for a while and haven't quite found what we're looking for yet.
Ozarksetera was a suggestion.
Ozarksetera was a suggestion.
We've had words with, or ideas with almanac.
Bulletin board was one.
Right, but nothing has stuck yet.
Not yet.
So we're looking for suggestions. You could make those to us at KUAFinfo.com. But for now, we begin the as-of-yet-unnamed segment with a nod to technology. Antoinette, are you familiar with QR codes?
No, it kind of sounds like a Star Wars character, maybe?
Well, no? I wasn't either, but the new issue of the University of Arkansas Research Frontiers makes great use of this technology. With some of the articles in the latest issue, there's a small square at the bottom of the article that looks like a stamp-sized cross between a barcode and a thumbprint. For example, this piece on page 2 about exercise. You see the QR code here at the bottom?
Mm-hmm.
Now, watch what happens when I take a picture of the code with my phone.
With your fancy iPhone.
Okay, so I took that picture of the little square in the magazine with an app that I downloaded earlier this morning.
Okay.
Now, watch what happens. And it takes me to a video that's more about exercise that will explain what the article didn't have room for. And this is a video that's now on my phone that was produced by the University of Arkansas. And you can take it with you.
Okay, so information on the go, and it's a little easier than having to try and type the web address in there.
Exactly. In fact, earlier this morning, I talked with Melissa Bluen, who is the editor of Research Frontiers magazine.
One of the limitations of having a magazine is that you only have so many pages to put things on. And, of course, the web has a lot of depth to it. And one of the issues that we've always had is being able to go from the magazine to a computer. If you put a web address in the magazine, people still have to go to their, or had to go to their computer in the past in order to get the content. And even if you sent them an email, they still had to be at their computer in order to get the email. But now with this, we're able to directly link our print magazine with the online content for people who have smartphones.
The current issue of Research Frontiers also includes QR codes that let you learn more about University of Arkansas research into a mysterious pathogen that kills roses and lets you see the artwork of a professor at the university. And from a brand new technology to a very established one. Yes, that is the sound of a needle dropped onto a vinyl record. George Benson's 1966 LP, It's Uptown, as a matter of fact. The record was one of about 300 donated to KUAF this week. As we continue our call for vinyl jazz records, many of the LPs can be heard each Friday night at midnight on the live show Goodnight Jazz with Daniel Estes. He plays nothing but vinyl records now on two real live turntables in the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF. So if you have jazz records you'd like to donate, you can call us at 800-522-KUAF. The annual Arkansas poll was released today. Among the findings, Arkansans favor Republican Congressman John Bozeman over Democrat incumbent Senator Blanche Lincoln in next week's election. 54% of those questioned favored Representative Bozeman, 35% Senator Lincoln. 11% didn't know or didn't respond. There's more than just politics in this year's poll. Those surveyed were asked about health care, tax cuts, and more. The Arkansas poll was conducted by the Survey Research Center at the University of Arkansas between October 8th and 20th. The Survey Research Center's trained interviewers completed 771 telephone surveys among a random sample of adult Arkansans. Tomorrow on Ozarks at Large, we'll talk with the director of the poll, Janine Perry. And AT&T is applying for a waiver to relieve them of the requirement to print residential white pages for customers. The proposal to the Public Service Commission suggests that AT&T customers have a choice to receive local information in paper or CD-ROM form. Spokesman Andy Morgan says the offer is a reflection of the times.
There are several other ways to access residential listings nowadays online. It's not so much about eliminating residential white pages. It's about giving consumers a choice. They can continue to request a printed book, or they can choose to use the electronic options that are available today.
Morgan says the environmentally friendly initiative would allow them to cut back on the amount of paper and ink used for printing.
And that's about all the time we have for this edition of Ozarks at Large. Local support for Ozarks at Large comes from Second Street Live in downtown Fort Smith, hosting its first classical music performance featuring the string quartet Ethel Thursday, October 28th at 7:30 p.m. This Juilliard-trained quartet hail from New York City. More information and tickets available at secondstreetlive.com. Ozarks at Large is also supported by KUAS contributing listeners and by Walton Arts Center, presenting the Chamber Orchestra Academy of St. Martin in the Fields with pianist Jonathan Biss on Friday, October 29th. Featuring an alt Mozart program, pieces will include Divertimento in D major, Symphony No. 29 in A major, and Piano Concerto No. 12 in A major. Tickets and more information available at waltonartcenter.org or 443-5600. A service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas, this is KUAF Public Radio, 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Red Star.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And we'll end today's show with music from Sarah Hughes. She plays tonight at Greenhouse Grill in Fayetteville. This is the song No Seatbelts from her CD of the same name. Have a great Wednesday.